From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. Thank you very much for listening. We've talked to the Citizens Utility Board a couple of times about proposed rate increases, and that process has come to its culmination, and we're finding out more about it today from Tom Content, who's the Executive Director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Tom, welcome back to Newsmakers.
Oh, it's great to be back with you. Looking forward to the conversation.
So we have this update, sort of for this round anyway, the final update about this electric rate increase process that's been going on since the proposals came out, like towards the beginning of the year. And the net effect is that Xcel Energy customers will see an increase next year, but the good news is it's not as much as it could have been. So what's going on? What can people expect?
The good news, the really good news, is they can expect very little change on the electricity side of their bills, because the Public Service Commission approved an increase of about just $1 million, or about a tenth of a percent increase. So it's basically almost unchanged, but it's going up a tiny bit. The utility had come in and requested a $40 million increase, which would have increased electric rates by about 5% in 2024. The PSC reviewed that and determined that most of that increase isn't needed at this time. So that's good news for customers of Xcel.
So that rate increase is much smaller than it might have been. What about on the natural gas side of the operation? That is a slightly larger increase that's been approved there.
That's right. There is a natural gas increase of about $5 million, and that's going to be about a 3.2% increase. Now, it pays for some of the local infrastructure costs of the natural gas system. Most of your heating bill or most of your monthly natural gas bill that customers pay is used to just pay for the commodity itself. So you're not going to necessarily see that. Notice that big of an increase on your bills. It depends on where that is more dependent on where the price of natural gas goes. And fortunately, right now, the price of natural gas isn't too excessive.
And that's what part of the bill is affected by how much more money people are paying is something that you've taken a close look at. I'm expressing it not very elegantly, but if you'll give me another crack at it, basically the rate increase that has been allowed for Xcel, what they wanted to do was increase their profit rate by vastly more than they've been allowed to. So what is it? The proposed rate would have increased the profit rate. Return on equity to like 10.25%. But what is it now?
So it has been 10% the last couple of years, and the utility wanted to go higher up to 10.25, and that we thought that was because the profits have actually been too high for too long across Wisconsin. Our profit rates have been higher than the national average for a long time, and so when it came for the my economist, the Cub economist, advocated for a profit rate or return on equity about 9.3%. The commission didn't go that far as we wanted, but they did bring it down. They brought it down to 9.8. So that actually saves about $14 million over the next couple of years. That's one of the reasons that this increase was reduced from the initial filing to today. It's a good sign. And what we want to stress there is that even the PSC chair thought it was bold for the utility to ask for an increase given that profit rates have been so high in Wisconsin and that they had voted to start reducing them in the last few years with other utilities. So this is a good sign that in the face of, even as interest rates go up and our mortgage rates go up, that the profit rates were at such a level that there was room to come down, even with that. So I think that's a good sign. This is a big issue for customers because often the witnesses, the experts that the utilities hire, are paid six figures to actually advocate on behalf of higher profits. The consultants that these utilities hire, and at CUB, we just think that's kind of out of balance. That these aren't independent experts that the utilities are hiring. They have, with the payment that they're getting for these advocacy, they are not. They're going to great lengths, the utilities are, to hire consultants that are not truly independent. And so they're being paid handsomely. So we're glad that the commission sided with CUB in bringing down the profit rates and in sending a message that, customers can't afford such high profits.
So you said that rates have been in Wisconsin higher than the national average, Xcel's rates higher than the national average for quite a long time. What is the justification for that? Is it just things cost more in Wisconsin than some other places?
I meant to say that the profit rates
okay,
have been higher than the national average. Fortunately, in western and northern Wisconsin, Xcel customers have more affordable rates than some of the other investor-owned utilities in Wisconsin, which in terms of your actual bills, which is good, which has been a good thing. But I think across the country, you're seeing, and even across the Mississippi River in Minnesota, you're seeing movement to bring down these profit rates. Xcel's Minnesota counterpart also wanted to go above 10% to 10.2%. And the Minnesota Public Service Commission said, no, that's way too high. And they actually, for the Minnesota utility of Xcel, they awarded a profit rate of just 9.25%. So even in Wisconsin, we have a ways to go to bring these excessive profits down. But it was a good step to see that it came down, and it's going to come down for 2024 and 2025 as a result.
When the Public Service Commission is doing its work, do they do that like in isolation of these other factors that you just mentioned, as far as what's going on in other states, or do they actually consider like, oh, well, in Minnesota, they're doing this and we are beholden to at least, try to have something that is regionally comparable?
I think they do watch what's going on in other states. I don't know how much it factors in because every state has a pride of authorship and pride of ownership of how they do their own processes. But for example, Walmart comes into all these rate cases and brings in testimony from all 50 states about how this profits issue is being addressed from state to state. And they're trying to bring all the profits down across the country. And the average profit around the country is about 9.5%. So are even at 9.8, which is where Xcel and some of the other utilities will be next in 2024, that's still going to be higher than the national average. But it is one factor that the state, that the Wisconsin PSC considers as it evaluates this issue.
Because of our location in the greater La Crosse area in southwestern Wisconsin, because of Xcel's location here in La Crosse, we're obviously drawn to comparisons to Minnesota. What do you know about our Wisconsin's other neighboring states, Iowa, Illinois, et cetera, that as far as how these rates compare?
Yeah, no, Illinois just awarded some profit rates that we thought were a little high, on the high side. But it ended up around 9.8-ish as well. I'm not as familiar with Iowa and where they are there. And I know in northern Minnesota, one of the utilities up by Duluth is asking for a 10.3% right now. But I think they're currently below 9.5. So I think utilities keep pushing to have higher profits, but it's the customers who have to pay the bills for that. And so I think there's this balancing act because as the utilities are building and building and building more renewable energy projects, and we're in this building cycle that is putting rate pressure on costs. Every time a utility builds a new project, then that's what comes into the rate cases, and the rate cases, that's where the utilities ask for the customers to start footing the bill for those new projects. And with the signals that we're getting now is from the Public Service Commission is, as utilities keep building things, that can be very expensive. And so you can't expect customers to pay more than their fair share every single year. And that's where the Supreme Court has decided, or has sent the message to the utility industry in its decisions, that regulators can take into account how much of the customers can afford to pay when setting those profits.
Now, CUB has part of what you do is advocate on behalf of customers, ratepayers. But in addition to just everybody likes to pay less for bills, you wanted further cuts that would have reduced next year's bills for customers, and that is not going to happen. But what in addition to, well, everybody likes to pay less, like what's the logic behind, considering that to have been a reasonable option?
I think it's just a matter of, this is where there's always a balancing act between the utility's financial needs and then the desires of the utility investors to make money on when they buy the stock, but also to balance that with the customers who are paying the bills. So as a state and as a nonprofit advocating for the residential customers, we want a safe and reliable system. We don't want the lights to go out. We want a safe system. But we also want it to be affordable. So that's the balancing act that the utilities are need to achieve, and that the PSC is charged with trying to achieve. And CUB is there as a voice for affordability, but also a sound system.
There's one aspect of Xcel's proposal would have allowed the earnings cap to expire. And the PSC opted not to allow that to expire, right? What's that all about?
So yes, Wisconsin has had earnings caps in place where if the utilities earn well above that whatever that number is that's selected, so 9.8 will be the number. If they earn well above that, then they have to share those earnings back with customers. So it essentially caps earnings at a certain level. And Xcel did not propose to keep that cap. And so CUB had to come into the case and advocate that, we wanted to make sure that cap stayed in place. And we're glad the PSC voted to keep that in place.
So what does that amount to? What would have been the impact of cutting it to, like, is there a way to know how an individual ratepayer might have been affected by that?
Well, if there is no cap, it's kind of the sky's the limit. If the PSC can set an earnings rate of say 9.8%, but if they could earn 11% profit, that would just go straight to the utility's bottom line,
it really would make that profit rate a moot point.
Right, exactly. So this puts some teeth into it that says if they earn well above that 9.8, that the money has to flow back to customers in a future credit, as a credit in a future year. So that's why we wanted to make sure that tool was kept in place, so that we don't lose the opportunity for savings if they do have good earnings, strong earnings.
Now, Xcel obviously affects a lot of people in our listening area. It doesn't affect people who are served by co-ops, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But as far as the other publicly traded energy companies in Wisconsin, how does the rate increase for Xcel compare to what was allowed to other entities in the state?
So Xcel customers did very well this year. The only ones that did better were in Wisconsin Public Service and northeastern Wisconsin. Those customers are going to see a decrease in 2024, thanks to some savings on fuel costs. The two other big cases that were in front of the PSC this year were Madison Gas and Electric and Alliant Energy, and both of those got bigger increases than Xcel was allowed, especially Alliant customers, which, and that serves parts of southwestern Wisconsin too, Wisconsin Power and Light. They're going to have a sizable increase in 2024 because of all the, mainly linked to all the new solar projects that they're building that are going into service. So Xcel customers did very well.
We're talking to Tom Content today. He's the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin, and we're talking about the electric rate increase that has been approved for Xcel Energy. We've been keeping our eyes on that, Xcel's initial proposal, and as it's gone through this process, it's now completed, and we're finding out more about how that will impact customers here in southwestern Wisconsin. Our conversation will continue in a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to get in touch with the show about this topic or any other topic, or if you have a suggestion you'd like to make for something that we should be covering here on Newsmakers, I'd love to hear from you. Our email address, which you can contact me anytime, is newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Our program continues in just a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall on the campus of UW-La Crosse in our southwestern Wisconsin studios. We're here with Tom Content today, who is the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. We've been talking a lot about Xcel Energy, and Tom, I know Cub doesn't necessarily have the same like oversight relationship with the local co-ops in terms of how those are regulated, because it's a much more individualized and a bit complicated system. But if people are served by one of those co-ops and looking to find similar information that we're discussing today about their co-op, where can they find that? Is there somebody that does that?
Well, it's basically each co-ops are more self-governed, if you will. The co-ops as a whole have an exemption from PSC regulation and over regulating how they operate. So as a result, Cub is the advocate for all the residential and small business customers in Wisconsin. Our main focus is on the investor-owned utilities as well as the municipally-owned utilities, the ones where the city or town actually operates the utility, because those are still regulated by the Public Service Commission. For a customer of a co-op, those co-ops are really accountable to they're self-governed, so you have to basically, if you're a co-op customer concerned about your bill, you really have to reach out to your own co-op. I know they have annual meetings where issues can come up. I know we've taken calls at the Cub office in Madison from co-op members who are concerned about how high the fixed charge is on their bills. The fixed charge is that if you look at your typical energy bill when it comes every month, a lot of us don't look at it because we kind of set it and forget it. It's kind of auto paid every month. But if you do open up your bill and take a look at it, there's the fixed charge and then there's the energy charge. And the fixed charge hits you no matter how much energy you use. And because the co-ops are so rural in rural parts of the state, they often have higher fixed charges than the rest. Than other utilities, and that's we've gotten, and Cub advocates for reducing fixed charges in order to enable more energy efficiency, so that behavior change can reduce your bill, and the more you put on the fixed charge, the harder it is to save money when you're taking steps to use less energy. So that's an important thing. But when I get calls like that from co-op members, I can't really help them because the co-ops are really self-governed.
Each one does their own thing. They're not really answerable to the Public Service Commission in the same way.
Correct, because the legislature exempted a long time ago. The legislature exempted them from PSC regulation.
Okay. Well, as far as the rate approval for Xcel Energy, which you have been advocating on throughout the year, there are some key wins that you highlighted in your recent blog post, and let's talk about each of those. One you talked about dividing costs between small and large customers. Talk about what that means.
Oh, sure. So we basically every time, if you think of every time there's a rate case, there are two parts of it. Part one is just how big is the pie? How big is and it's, you know, how much do we have to swallow in terms of how much of an increase overall? But then the second phase of the case is where the Public Service Commission divides that up and says how big are the slices of the pie between residential customers, small business customers, and large customers? And the Public Service Commission responded to something that my expert on this in this area called for, and they agreed with CUB that the state needs to modernize how it's looking to divvy up the cost between residential customers and big business. Oftentimes, big business, large manufacturers that advocate for their interests in these cases are using outdated information that doesn't reflect all the changes in how the grid is operating on a day-to-day basis in the 2020s. So the encouraging thing, it doesn't mean savings instantaneously for, you know, homeowners and renters and small businesses, but the encouraging thing is that the PSC is going to kick off a statewide study of this issue that we think will generate, we hope that will generate opportunities for more savings down the road.
Another aspect that you've advocated for is making sure that shareholders and not ratepayers are the ones who are paying bonuses.
Correct. So this is an issue that was in the Xcel case and also the Alliant Energy rate case this year. And basically, incentive compensation or bonuses for management and for other employees. We want to make sure that if there are incentives paid, that they be tied to metrics that matter to customers. In other words, let's tie those things to affordability or reliability or the ability of customers to save on their energy bills. But too often, and what the PSC agreed in this case, too often these bonuses or incentives are basically tied to shareholder benefits. In other words, what is the earnings per share that the company achieves? If the shareholders are going to benefit, if the metrics tied to those bonuses are just to benefit shareholders, then we think the shareholders should be paying for those costs. And that's what the PSC decided. So we were happy with that decision.
Okay. And you're also pleased with expanding electric vehicle charging stations. Talk about the program that is being put in place to offer charging stations around the area, around the state. How's that going to work?
Well, and this is a little bit unusual because most of the time, up to now, it's been either Tesla or these other companies like ChargePoint or Electrify America that are installing charging stations around the country. And in this case, it's a utility that's proposing to do it. Now, that they're not going to operate it themselves, but they're going to hire somebody else to actually run the thing. But Xcel is looking to install a few EV chargers in western or northern Wisconsin, probably along the interstate, most likely along the interstate. And what we've found is that rural Wisconsin is really lacking in EV charging stations. So we thought on balance that it made sense at this time to allow a little bit of money in this case to be spent on that, because the benefits for customers as the system, as transportation electrifies, if you think of your home energy bill, and then you think of all what you're paying for gasoline, once that converts over to electric, to EVs over time, the total cost for, if you factor those all in together, would actually be a savings for customers, because the price of electricity is equivalent to about, in round numbers, about $1 a gallon versus $3 a gallon for gas. Your overall household spending on energy, including your cars, would actually go down as we electrify. So, but in terms of the immediate next few years, it's going to be helpful to have a few more charging stations installed. Right now, we have a lot of charging stations. There are more charging stations right in Madison than there are in many parts of the rest of the state. So having a few more out there is going to be beneficial.
Do you know enough about these charging stations to know whether they would service vehicles regardless of platform or whatever? Like you mentioned, Tesla is the big name that everybody knows, and there are, some of the big three are making electric vehicles now, but there are differences in what's required to charge each of them. They have their own proprietary stuff going on.
Yes, that's true. And there's a whole national debate about which charging type of infrastructure should win the day. And I think right now Tesla's kind of winning the race, because Tesla has agreed with the Biden administration that they're going to open up their charging stations to other types of vehicles. I think what would be built in this case would be something that could accommodate multiple kinds of EVs. But I don't know the specific details on what Xcel has in store yet for Western Wisconsin.
Now there's we've been talking about some things that Cub considers wins in the approval that has come from the Public Service Commission regarding Xcel Energy's rates in the coming year. But it's not all sunshine and roses, as they say, from Cub's perspective. What didn't you like about the approval?
Well, there were a few areas. One was on the issue of some costs related to COVID-19. Obviously, the utilities had extra expenses linked to COVID when everything shut down. But even all through the pandemic, the utility companies and their shareholders did very, very well. They were very profitable. And so we thought that there should be more of a sharing of the burden between the customers and the shareholders, and we wanted to see more savings in that area in particular. The other thing that we don't know, it's not bad news, it's not good news, we just haven't heard the news yet, is on the issue of an affordability program that actually Xcel and Cub kind of collaborated on. As a customer, a residential affordability program that would provide discounts for people who are struggling to make ends meet and struggling to afford their utility bills. That proposal was not approved yet, and we're still waiting for an answer there from the PSC.
Okay. Back to the COVID related costs. Like what kinds of things are those costs?
Well, there were certain costs that made sense, that we thought made sense for customers to help pay for, like when utility employees needed to get PPE or mask up and have the kind of hazard protective equipment like the first responder there are certain costs that we thought were justified, like when utility employees needed PPE right at the outset of the public health emergency. But there are other things where utility wanted to be able to, utilities across the state wanted to be able to, weren't able to collect fees from customers because customers weren't allowed to be disconnected for a long time because of the public health emergency. And there were certain costs there that we thought were an opportunity for savings for customers, and that we ended up losing on that one.
Okay. So what's next in this process? It's been going on for a little while, and these rates will take effect, I'm assuming, in the new year. Is that just a switch flips January 1st, here you go?
Pretty much. That's what will happen. Right now we're waiting for the final, the PSC, three commissioners appointed by the governor, voted on this in November. And then in December, everything that they decided in that meeting is going to be finalized in a written order, a written decision that's going to come out this month. And then once that's completed, or once that's finalized, then the new rates will be determined. But that should be available for the commission to in time for the rates to change on January 1st for anybody who's on your January bills, you'll see different numbers come in. But as we said, since it's only a less than 1% increase, it should really not. And this, what's encouraging is that there won't be much of a change for on your electric side of the bill, and those rates will be in place for 2 years.
Tom Content is executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. We've been talking about a slight rate increase that's been approved by the Public Service Commission for Xcel Energy customers, and the effect that will have, and Tom and Cubs' feelings on that whole proposal, pros and cons, and we're not done with Tom yet. Coming up in a moment, we're going to get some advice from him about steps you can take now that could help ease your energy consumption and the bills related to it as we get into the colder part of winter. We'll also find out a little bit more about the Citizens Utility Board and how you can stay up to date with everything going on there. I'll mention that whenever we talk, we always do reach out to Xcel Energy to get their thoughts on the issue, and we'd be happy to hear from them and bring you their thoughts on this if that opportunity is provided. This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have missed part of our conversation today, you want to catch up on it, or if you want to hear a previous episode, we've got them all on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. Our program continues in a moment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. We're talking to Tom Content from the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. And Tom, before our break, I was teasing people with a promise of helping them save some energy over the winter and the costs related to it. There's an interesting post on your blog about that, and I'll ask you a few questions about that in a moment. But if people want to find out more about the Citizens Utility Board and where they can get not just this rate information, but all kinds of information that you've got that you post on a regular basis, how can they do that?
Sure. They can follow us on social media. It's cubwi.org. We're on multiple channels of social media as well. But on our website, we have a blog that actually keeps people up to date on different things. And we also have a podcast and do some educational webinars as well as part of our outreach and education efforts. So a lot of things going on. Our main focus at CUB, we're a nonprofit, so our main focus is a regulatory work in these cases. But then as a nonprofit, we're trying to raise money to help sustain the organization, to help us do well in these cases, help our advocacy, um, and And we'd appreciate, you know, having more members in who are XL customers or municipal utility customers in your part in that part of the state.
And all that information is available on your website, which is
cubwi.org. So CUBWI for Wisconsin.org. We are the designated advocate for residential and small business customers, and we have consumer information and other consumer resources and energy tips, energy saving tips on that website as well.
And energy saving tips is what we're all about in this part of our conversation. So just let's get right down to it. Is there like one single thing that people can do that would have like the biggest impact on potentially on their energy consumption?
That's a really good question. So it can vary from home to home. I think the first thing everybody should do is just find out what your if you're on the right rate with your utility. So one of the first things we recommend is if you're away from the house during the day, and if you can shift some of your most energy intensive behaviors to the evenings or the early morning hours, then you should be on a time of use rate. So that's, or some utilities call that a nights and weekends rate, which it provides cheaper electricity during the nighttime hours. You pay a little bit of a premium during the day, but if you can shift your washing of your dishes or washing of your clothes, and certainly your charging of an electric vehicle, all those things, if those happen overnight or on the weekend, then you could, every customer, most customers would save by switching to that. So that's one of the first things we recommend that people take a look at, and people should contact their utility about that, whether it's a XL or a municipal utility.
There's some advice about big things that you can do, efficiencies that you can do in your house that come with some cost, like upgrading a furnace or adding extra insulation. How do you go about determining whether a move like that is, whether it's time to make a move like that in your household?
Well, that's a really thing. So basically, the way it's been described to me, basically, if you walk around your house and you're feeling drafts, if it's feeling drafty in certain areas of your house, that's a sign that you need to take a look at improving your efficiency of your house. So whether that's adding insulation or air sealing to improve that, the first thing, if you're feeling those drafts, what you can do with energy efficiency, it'll save you money because you'll use less energy, but it also make your house more comfortable. So that's why there's so many benefits to actually getting this taken care of. And so there are a lot of opportunities for savings that are coming up in the next few years through the Inflation Reduction Act that Congress passed. Not all of those programs are available yet, but there are tax credits already available through that, after that passed last year. And there are tax credits for you to save. There's a tax credit specifically for energy efficiency. So what we would recommend is to actually hire someone to actually come to your house and if you can afford it, hire someone to come to your house and do an energy audit. These are people, highly trained experts that come in, and they will use either an infrared camera to look for leakage, or they will use what's called a blower door test to look at where your house may be leaking all that well heated furnace air right out through the gaps in the house or air conditioned air in the summertime. So. Once you have that, once you get an energy audit, then that audit report will tell you the steps that you could take in the coming years, some of which you'll see new incentives available to make that home more efficient once the Public Service Commission starts deciding how the Inflation Reduction Act rebates will be passed on to customers.
And if you're interested in an energy audit of your home, how do you find someone who's qualified to do that work?
So the best resource that we can provide people is actually through the Focus on Energy program, which is the statewide energy efficiency program. And they have a list of what they call trade allies on their website. And I think if you go on the Focus website, focusonenergy.com, you can and go to their residential area, you can put in your zip code and find someone in your area or near your area that could do that. The other thing people do, and this is a shout out to the Vernon County folks, the Vernon County Energy District, and the work they're doing. Vernon County Energy District is actually providing in their area sense, what they call sense monitors. And those monitors actually connected to your electrical box can tell you exactly in real time what your energy profile is at your house in terms of which appliances are using up the most juice or the most power at a given moment during the day.
So there are some things that if you're interested in making an actual, you know, financial commitment or investment up front can help a lot. But there are also practical things that you can just do that are going to help conserve energy. And of course, the end result of conserving energy is saving on that power bill. And one Correct. Thing that I think of this time of year is how far can I turn the thermostat down? And actually, you know, what's the cost benefit analysis on how far to turn it down before I'm just torturing myself for no reason?
Well, that's a good question. We turn ours down every night before we go to bed because we're figuring we're under the blankets, under several blankets at that time. So, but you can see savings by doing that, and I know a lot of Wisconsinites are conserving that way. They're trying to keep things as efficient as possible and throwing on an extra sweater. But everybody has their own breaking point on that. You know, some people are more comfortable with it at 70 degrees. I'm more comfortable, say, between 65 and 68. So everybody's got their own kind of internal thermostat that they have to try to temper with what the thermostat on the wall is telling them.
So there is no point of like diminishing returns or whatever. It's as low, you know, without putting yourself in some kind of danger of frostbite or something, as low as you can stand it, you can save money.
You can save money. It's that balancing act between comfort and savings. Yeah. And of course the new thing that's coming out that they're finding in the colder climates is actually a very, effective are heat pumps. And heat pumps, Focus on Energy has a great guide to heat pumps that on their website. But that's something that is going to be emerging technology that the HVAC industry is going to be shifting toward over time.
This weekend, some friends were comparing notes last weekend about temperature settings. And like you said, you know, some people were talking about setting their thermostat like at 70, or somebody even said 72 or 3 during the day. And then almost everybody turned it down at night. The winner, one of my friends said they turned their thermostat down to 58 at night.
Well, wow. That's impressive.
It's impressive or something else. I don't know.
Or foolhardy. No.
I don't know if I'm dedicated enough to go all the way down to 58, Tom.
There you go. Well, that's dedication. That's saving money. But then there are other things you can do. Certainly through that Focus on Energy program, I won't talk too much about them, but they have two other things I wanted to highlight, which is
okay.
They have every utility customer across the state is eligible for our free energy pack every year from Focus. They have one right now that's called Prepping for Sweater Weather. We're already well into sweater weather season now, but it's got insulation there. But they used to be providing free LED light bulbs across to citizens of Wisconsin. LEDs are have been deployed so well in Wisconsin that now these energy saving packs have other things in them. But it's a freebie that's available as a utility to every utility customer in Wisconsin. So we want people to be aware of that and take advantage of that. And that's available through Focus on Energy.
And how do they find information on Focus on Energy?
Yeah, focusonenergy.com would have information. You just look up free energy packs on their website. And then the second thing is they have for those who are interested in like a Google Nest or a Ecobee smart thermostat, this time of year, November, December, there are a lot of savings through Focus on Energy, both through the manufacturers and a Focus on Energy discount. So for people who are using older thermostats and are looking to do an upgrade, sometimes those smart thermostats can cost a lot of money, but there are good discounts right now available through a website that Focus runs. It's called Focus on Energy Marketplace.
A couple items I wanted to talk about while we've still got a couple minutes that
sure.
Were on your blog that were really interesting. And given the time of year, I think it's particularly interesting to talk about both food preparation, i.e. cooking, and food storage, i.e. refrigerators and freezers, and some energy savings that can be found even in small tasks related to that.
Sure. Yeah. No, I think the first thing is when I was at the Journal Sentinel, I once did a story about ways to save energy. And I think we ran some numbers and found that Wisconsinites love their second fridge, whether that's an older fridge that's in the garage or it's in the basement or someplace. But if everybody in Wisconsin were to unplug that second fridge, which might be just holding a few cans of beer at this point, then there could be those older fridges are pretty inefficient. So that's a significant source of savings for people. And then when it comes to cooking and having your food, just have your fridges and freezers full, but not over full. So that's an important thing. Using lids on pots and pans to reduce cooking time can save energy. Baking multiple things at once or using crock pots or microwaves is always a good thing too.
Using crock pots and microwaves to save energy. Microwaves, I understand, but crock pots, is it just because the thing is smaller? Because if I put something in the oven, it's going to go in there for you know, maybe like an hour at the most. Whereas right. if I put it in a crock pot, that thing's got to run all day.
It does, but that's a good question. If you have the most efficient, you know, stove or furnace or stove or oven, then you might want to use that. But generally, the loads from plugging up a crock pot in for a long time, that's not a big energy hog compared to say a fridge or something like that. One of the things we like to highlight is even though it's a gray time of year in December and January, when there is sun, we encourage people to take advantage of the sun. So just making sure you're opening your curtains to allow that passive sunlight to warm your home. It's something that people don't always think about. And then of course on cool days, cloudy days, closing those curtains when the sun goes down can keep the heat from leaking through your windows. So.
Okay, good advice. And at this time of year, why not keep the curtains open when it's sunny? It'll improve your disposition as well as save a little energy.
That's right. We don't want utility customers to get seasonal affective disorder. So that's important too.
Wonderful. Tom Content is the executive director of the Citizens Utility Board of Wisconsin. Tom, tell us once again how people can find information about CUB, read your blog, check out the podcast, etc.
Sure. So we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com, and then look for CUB Wisconsin or CUB WI. And then we have our podcast is called CUB Tracks on your podcast platforms. And then our website, cubwi.org, has resources about both the rate cases as well as consumer information and what we're doing as a nonprofit with 6 employees to advocate for customers across the state.
That sounds great. Tom, thank you very much for the time today and all the good information.
Thanks for the opportunity.
If you would like to hear today's show again, or if you would like to listen to a previous episode of Newsmakers, you can find them online. It's wpr.org/newsmakers. That's wpr.org/newsmakers. Newsmakers. You can get in touch with us anytime throughout the week. Our email is always open. Just send a note to newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. And one last update. There are a couple of times each week to hear the show. You can find us Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3. We're on Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And of course, we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next week for another Newsmakers here on Wisconsin Public Radio.